Now, you can see from this story that the Chan tradition's distrust of words, its love of paradox, and its emphasis on direct person-to-person transmission of the teaching has a lot to do with Taoism. It reflects this Taoist influence on the Buddhist tradition in China. So Chan is probably the best place for us to see the fruition of that process that we talked about last time in the last lecture, Taoist values insinuating themselves into the Buddhist imagination and really transforming it from within. Now, I said at the beginning of this lecture that we'd talk about Buddhist philosophy in China, but we'd also talk about some other things, the devotional tradition and also the influence of Buddhist values on Chinese literature. Let's turn to those two topics. The devotional traditions that played such an important part in Indian Buddhism and also in Tibet had great influence during the Tang Dynasty in China as well. One of these traditions is called the Qingtu, or Pure Land School. It was popular not only among the common people, but also, interestingly enough, among the elite. For peasants and villagers, the promise of salvation in Amitabha's land held out a hope for them of some kind of salvation in a future life. And life is always difficult for peasants in China in even the most prosperous time. Amitabha's vision, or the vision of Amitabha's Pure Land, was an image of some kind of otherworldly salvation that had a tremendous amount of appeal to many people in China. For the elite, interestingly enough, it also offered a type of contemplation that was very different from the austere practice of Chan, in which you really tried to empty the mind of images and empty the mind of concepts. You can see the difference in this meditation in the words of a practitioner of the Pure Land School by the name of Dao Cho, who died in the year 645. He said, suppose a man in an empty and distant place encounters a bandit who, drawing his sword, comes forcefully and directly to kill him. This man runs straight on, looking ahead, and tries to leap across a river to get away from the bandit. So also is the practitioner of Pure Land Buddhism. When he contemplates Amitabha Buddha, he is like the man contemplating the crossing of this river. The thought is continuous. No other thought mingles with it. It's an interesting little spin on Buddhist contemplation. We've talked before about chanting the name of Amitabha Buddha in order to be saved in Amitabha's Pure Land, but we haven't ever talked about the quality of the contemplation itself. In what way do you need to think about Amitabha Buddha in order to make this crossing of the ocean of samsara? Here, Dao Cho says that you have to, as it were, contemplate the immediacy of Amitabha's salvation in a single, intense, perfectly focused thought. So it becomes a kind of contemplative practice that's very similar to the contemplative practice of Chan. You try to focus in some way on just Amitabha so that Amitabha fills your imagination and you're assured in some way of then making the transition into that other world that's represented by the Pure Land of this Buddha. So Pure Land Buddhism becomes a contemplative tradition in its own right, in a way that will be interesting for us to explore when we talk about the Pure Land tradition in Japan. And finally, for many people, the cult of bodhisattvas like Avalokiteshvara, or Guanyin, as Avalokiteshvara is known in China, promised not just rebirth in another world, but direct assistance with the concerns of this life. As I think I mentioned earlier in my lectures on the Mahayana tradition, Avalokiteshvara, or Guanyin, came to be pictured as a compassionate mother in China, often holding a child in her arms. And Guanyin is worshipped in China historically and also in China today as really a protector of the family and a deity who is particularly inclined to grant the gift of children. Now, we talked about that before, but when we discussed that in our discussion of Mahayana Buddhism, we hadn't yet seen how important family life was in China. The family really is the center of Chinese values in many respects. So to have a deity like this, a Mahayana deity like Avalokiteshvara or Guan Yin, who can bring prosperity to the family, is a powerful, attractive feature in the Buddhist tradition.